6 verse 7 to 9. And I'm going to read the text again so that we can just put it on the recording. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, and the advisors have consulted together to establish a decree that no one should pray to any other god except to Darius, King Darius at that time. And in Daniel 6, when that decree was made, we see how Daniel, after the writing was signed, Bible says he went home, went into his upper room with his windows open to Jerusalem. He knelt down and he prayed three times that day and gave thanks to God, as was his custom in the early days. Now, despite the decree being signed that abolished prayer to God, Daniel was consistent in seeking his God. The decree did not affect his spiritual life because he understood that the source of his wisdom and the source of the excellent spirit that he carried was from God. Daniel had an upper room, as the verse tells us, which is a metaphor of the environment that he needs to be crafted. We did that in previous sessions. And he made a decision that he would remain committed and dedicated to his God. Now, our immunity is dependent rather on an uncommon standard of consistency. So if you had to think about Daniel's situation, which was very critical in that he could have been easily, in that he was actually put into the lion's den for violating the decree that was signed, but he was willing to remain consistent in offering his prayers to God and giving thanks to God despite the critical situation that he faced. So if you want immunity, one of the key factors is consistency. And to be consistent is to be steady, to be stable, to be unswerving, to be unwavering, to be dependable, reliable, unfailing. You can also use the word predictable if you like. And all of this is the nature of God. The nature of God is consistency. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. So God is basically telling the nation of Israel that because I am a God that does not change, that means I am consistent, I am the same. Therefore, you are not consumed. In James 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. And here we see that God is unchanging. There's no variation of shadow of turning. So we are endowed with gifts from above because God is consistent. Psalms 110 verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever. Consistency. According to the order of Melchizedek. So it is the nature of God to be consistent, to be stable, to be predictable, to be unwavering. Now, another term that explains consistency in the scriptures is the word continually. You can also look at another word which is called daily, but I'm going to focus just on a couple of points on the area of continually. So when something is done continually and is established as a statute forever, it means that it is consistent. It is there all the time. So if you want to have immunity in your life, you have to learn how to develop a consistency in your life, something of stability and reliability and dependability. Now, in the book of Leviticus chapter 24, verse 1 to 5, and this is in the in the regulations of the maintenance of the tabernacle of Moses. And you know that the tabernacle of Moses is a template of who Christ is. And all that Christ was seen in the tabernacle, and so Christ became the fulfillment of the tabernacle of Moses. In Leviticus 24, verse 1 to 5, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they bring to you oil of pure, of pressed olives for the light, to make the lamps burn continually. Verse 3, outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, Aaron will be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord, again, continually. It shall be a statute forever, meaning continually, in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps in the pure golden lampstand before the Lord continually. So the word continually is used several times in the text, because Aaron had this very important function, or duty, should I say, when he went into the tabernacle. This is what he had to do. He had to ensure that pressed oil was put lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The Holy Spirit is now the oil that lights our lamp so that we can be a light to this world. As sons of God and as sons of light, you cannot be candles that burn out in the wind. Too often, Christians are like firecrackers. They just appear for festival and events, and they just sort of appear with a big bang and then they disappear. Now, we are not meant to be like that, because the spirit of a man is the lamp of God. And you need to know that the Holy Spirit is the oil in our lamp that keeps our light burning continually, consistency. So, we should not be like firecrackers, where we just appear and disappear, come with a big bang, make a loud noise, but there's no consistency in our lives. We should not be like gas lamps that run out of gas all the time. Consistency is where oil is always there, just as Aaron had this duty to ensure that the oil was there all the time, ensuring that light was in the lamp. Now, there's an old Sunday school song that we used to sing, and many of you will know it. And the lyrics of the song was, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And that song, I mean, I learned as a little boy when I was in Sunday school, and it's still with me up to today. But the essence or the substance of the song was that the Holy Spirit is the oil in our lamp to keep us burning, or to make us lights all the time. And too often, too many people are being burnt out. Their lights no longer are shining because they are overwhelmed with distractions in this world. But we are not supposed to be having burnout, because the oil, who is the Holy Spirit in our lives, keeps the light in us alive. Now, but it depends on our consistency. So by Aaron going in every morning and every evening and putting in oil into that lampstand to make sure that there was light in the holy place, we have the same duty that in order for light to shine through our lives, we have to make sure that our lamp has oil continually. How do you do that? It's called an abiding relationship with the Lord. The book of John 15, verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." The abiding relationship keeps us consistent. When we are deeply connected to the Lord and we remain connected to him at all times in this abiding relationship, we have this consistent walk with our God. Now, there's something else that Aaron had to do also when he went into the holy place. And while he had to go and replace the oil in the lamps so that there would be light consistently in the holy place, he also had to offer incense regularly or continually or daily. Exodus 30 verse 7, Aaron shall burn on it, meaning on the altar of incense, every morning when he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generation. So Aaron had to put incense on the altar when he lit the lamps every morning and every evening. The incense is a symbol of our daily prayer life. Revelation 8 verse 1 to 3 says, "When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven, and for about half an hour, and I saw the seven angels who stand before, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." So, here's what Aaron did. When he went into the holy place, he would continually put oil into the lamps to keep the light burning, and he would also offer incense on the altar of incense unto the Lord, and that is a representation of prayers. So, consistency is about renewal of the oil or refreshment of the oil, as well as a daily prayer life unto the Lord. Now, when you go to the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 5 to 13, I'm not going to read all of it, I'll paraphrase it for you. Zechariah was a priest that was offering incense daily during his time. And he will tell you that he was serving as a priest before God in the order of his division according to the custom, and he would burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, while he was burning incense at the altar, in verse 11, "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son.'" Now, why was Zechariah's prayers heard? Because of consistency. Because he would do this regularly. Because this was what he did as a priest every single day. Now, we are a kingdom of priests unto the Father, according to the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And because we are a kingdom of priests, we have the same duty of making sure that there's oil in the lamp and also prayers that are offered continually. Now, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth could not have a child. Her womb was barren. But you see, when you are consistent in your prayers, when you are consistent in serving the Lord as Zacharias did, then your prayers get answered. Then you would see that there are certain breakthroughs that would take place, like barrenness that was broken in their life, and to bring forth John, who became a messenger of the covenant. So understand that consistency is a key to certain breakthroughs in our lives. So Daniel was consistent in his prayer life, and this is why he was immunized even when he was in the lion's den. So number one, in terms of consistency, you got to make sure that you light your lamp daily and you offer prayers of incense daily, because that level of consistency will immunize us. Now, you have to set an uncommon standard when it comes to that. Now, you may say, Pastor, you know, that's a bit religious, or that is a bit too orthodox. I can pray while I'm driving in my car. I can, you know, I know that God is with me all the time, and I don't have to have a set time to pray, etc. Listen, you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word disciple comes from the word discipline. If you don't lead a disciplined, meditative, and a life that is focused unto the Lord, you will easily get distracted by this world. But consistency in the scriptures always produces results. Always produces breakthroughs. Don't be the big bang thunder cracker. Don't be that person that just appears and disappears. Remain consistent. Make sure that your lamp is filled with oil. Offer your prayers of incense unto the Lord. Be consistent, and you will see how the Lord would answer you. Number two, the second thing about continuity or continually or consistency, in Exodus 29, verse 38 to verse 43, here God is instructing Moses about daily offerings. And he said, now this is what you shall offer on the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and another lamb you shall offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be one tenth of an ephah, etc., etc. And verse 42, this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And it says, there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. So here, God says there must be offerings made continually. And these offerings were a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening. The Bible clearly tells us in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, so that we do not conform to the world, but we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, that sacrifice has now transitioned into a praise to God. In Hebrews 13, 15, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So there's a twofold issue here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. The first is the sacrifice that God wants continually now is the sacrifice of our lips. In Psalms 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So there's a continuous offering of praise unto God from our lips, but that's only lip service. The second part of the verse of Hebrews 13, verse 15 to 16, verse 16 says, and do not forget to do good. So while you are praising God continually with your lips, at the same time, you should also be doing good and to share, because that is also a sacrifice. So the sacrifice that we make from our lips, which is praise unto God, must also be backed with the sacrifice that we make with our hands, which is the actions of doing good and taking care of other people. Otherwise, it is just lip service unto God. But when we offering sacrifice of praise with our lips, and it must be done continually at the same time, we should also be doing good to others as a sacrifice. And this, again, I remind you, should be done continually. There should be a consistency in our praise and in our sharing of our goods, which is a sacrifice that is well-pleasing unto God. Now, Paul and Silas, despite their circumstances, the Bible says were praising and singing and praying while they were in the prison, as you know, and that eventually led to an earthquake and brought their deliverance. Even Jehoshaphat, during the time when three enemies had come up against him, and remember, they began to praise and sing, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And their praise was on their lips and God brought deliverance to them. But you have to be consistent in your praise and consistent in your sacrifice of taking care for one another. This must be continually done as the Bible instructs us. Number three. In 2 Samuel verse 9 to 11, or sorry, chapter 9 verse 11, all of us are familiar with the story of Mephibosheth, who was the grandson of Saul. And so Mephibosheth comes into the house of David, and Mephibosheth had a servant, his name was Ziba. And Ziba is speaking to King David, and he says to King David, therefore, Ziba said to the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, David is speaking and he's saying to Ziba, as for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Basically, he's saying, I'm taking Mephibosheth as my own and he shall eat at my table. Verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Michal. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. Verse 13, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate, here's it again, continually at the king's table, and he was lame in his feet. Now, Mephibosheth was the lame grandson of an old order called Saul. And he had to sit continually at David's table and eat the food that was on David's table. There was a change of tables. He was coming from the house of Saul into the house of David. But to make the change from the house of Saul to the house of David, he had to sit continually at the table of David and eat the food that David would put on the table. And we know that spiritually that food refers to the doctrine. It refers to the word. And oftentimes in our lives, remember that Mephibosheth was lame. Spiritually, we can be lame. We have spiritual weaknesses in the flesh. But it requires us to sit at the table of a father where we eat the doctrine that comes through the word of God, and it equips us to deal with our weaknesses and to kill the old order of Saul in us. But it requires this thing here called consistency. You can't come to one Bible study every 3 months. You have to be consistent if you want to see the old order of Saul in your life disappear. If you want to see certain things begin to take place in terms of change in your life, remember that to have your lameness covered, you have to sit at the table continually. So when we sit at a father's table, we receive the doctrine that covers our lameness and also deals with the old order of Saul in our lives. And in this way, we are protected and we are preserved. Proverbs 6 verse 20 tells us this. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them again continually upon your heart. Be consistent, ensuring that the word gets into your heart. Tie them around your neck, and there'll be some results. And here's the results. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and a law, the light. Verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. So what we are seeing is, when we sit continually at a table receiving the word, it can have four effects. It will lead you. It will keep you, meaning it will hedge and it will guard you and protect you. It will speak to you, meaning it will give you direction for your life, or it will even bring illumination and revelation to you. And it will restrain you from getting involved with the evil woman or the flattering tongue of the seductress, where you can get easily seduced in by the temptations of this world. So the result of sitting continually at a table, the result of consistently sitting at a table, is that it will lead you, keep you, speak to you, and restrain you. Consistency in keeping the Father's commands will definitely result in immunity, but it requires an effort on our part to be consistently at the table receiving the doctrine of God's word. Number four. Number four. In 1 Kings 10, verse 6 to 8, Queen Sheba comes to visit Solomon because she heard of his great wisdom, and she heard of the wonderful things that he had built and what he had done. And this was her response. Then she said to the king, 1 Kings 10, verse 6, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and your words, until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and your prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Verse 8, happy, another word is blessed, are your men, and happy are these servants, listen carefully, who stand continually before you to hear your wisdom. So the Queen of Sheba saw the consistency of the servants of Solomon as they stood continually to hear his wisdom. Now, one greater than Solomon lives in us. Matthew 12:42, Jesus is making reference to this particular narrative that I just read to you. And he says, the queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, greater than Solomon is here. 1 John 4:4 tells us, you are children, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the one greater than Solomon lives in us, but we must develop a consistency of hearing his wisdom and living by that wisdom, because the Bible says, happy are your servants, blessed are your servants. So the result of consistency in hearing the wisdom of God is being blessed and being happy and being joyful, just as the servants of Solomon was. We are now servants of the Lord. We are ministers unto God, and we should hear his wisdom continually so that we can also have a blessed life while we are on this earth. So if you want to be greater in the world, you must be consistent in hearing the wisdom of God. Number five. Psalms 126, verse 5 to 6, and I know this verse has been labored upon last week's Sunday, as well as a brief introduction in yesterday's Saturday session, and I'm encouraging you to join us on Saturday mornings to listen as we break down these verses more and more. In Psalms 126, verse 5 to 6, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again. So while you are weeping, you continually go forth bearing seed for sowing. So our tears can only turn to joy when we not just sow seed, but when we sow seed continually. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 4, he who observes the wind will not sow. Just like he who keeps saying it's going to rain today will never go to the beach. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. Verse 5, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God. Listen to the context. Who makes everything. And then the instruction comes. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. Meaning, sow again. For you do not know which one will prosper. Because we do not know the works of God. Either this or that. Or whether both alike will be good. So, you have to have an uncommon standard when it comes to sowing or releasing seed continually, daily, so that we don't know which one will prosper because we don't know the works of God. And because God looks at our seed being sown continually, you will see that he will begin to work upon your seed and bring in a great harvest. So you have to have an uncommon standard of consistency, reliability, dependability, be stable, because consistency will immunize you. Now, as I wind down and close, we must be consistent in our marriages. When I say consistent in your marriages, the marriage should entail respect, integrity, transparency, accountability. And we should maintain that in our marriages. You should maintain your vows. People always tell me, no, they're renewing their vows. You don't renew vows because that means you broke it. You have to understand that a vow is a commitment. You made it for life. You have to keep it. You have to be consistent. You have to make sure that you are stable and that you are reliable and dependable when it comes to your marriage. So if there's transparency, if there's accountability, if there's integrity, if there's respect for one another in your marriage, then your marriage will be consistent. Your marriage shouldn't be going up and down all the time. You have good times for 3 years, and then you have bad times for 1 year, and then you have good times for another year, etc. For some people, it's weekly. But we have to maintain a level of consistency in terms of keeping our covenant in our marriage. Remember, our marriage is a reflection of the mystical union between Christ and his church. This is why, as sons of God, our marriage has an uncommon standard compared to the world. Yes, we all have problems, we have arguments, we have disagreements, etc., etc. But remember that marriage is a representation of that which is in the heavens. And it requires us to be consistent. We should also be consistent when it comes to church. Attending meetings, for now it's online, and you should know there's a meeting on Tuesday, there's a meeting on Wednesday, there's a meeting on Saturday, there's a meeting on Sunday. I mean, Wednesday and Saturday is just 15 minutes. That's a blink of an eye. Before you know it, it's over. And just being consistent in those meetings is a reflection of someone that is going to be immutable, or rather have immunity in regards to certain challenges that we face in life. Your giving should be consistent when it comes to church. Fellowship should be consistent. And remain covenantal in your relationships in the house of God, with the father of the house, with people in the church. Maintain covenantal relationships. Thirdly, consistency in your integrity. Be punctual. Be on time. If you say to someone you're going to be there at a certain time, be on time. If you say to someone, I'm going to call you back, call them back. Or reply to them if you have to reply to them via text message, etc. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. These are uncommon standards that must be kept in this world, because the standards of this world cannot be compared to the standards of the kingdom. The world will tell you that you must walk 1 mile. The kingdom will tell you, no, I'll walk with you 2 miles because I value the relationship more than the distance. The standards of this of the kingdom is superior to the standards of this world. And therefore, our level of consistency must be higher than that which is demanded in this world. So the few things that I shared with you as a summary this morning in terms of being consistent. One is, make sure that your lamp has oil and that you are offering prayers continually. Number two, your offerings must be made to the Lord continually. This is the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of good works to others. Sit at the table continually. Be consistent in terms of the doctrine that is being shared. Stand to hear the wisdom of God daily so that you can live a blessed life. Lastly, you must carry seed continually in your life. I trust that as you develop consistency in your life, you will see the hand of God protect and keep you, and it will be your immunity even through difficult challenges. God bless you. Amen.